Today, I'm going to go through a lot of calculations that relate to annuities. The main reason is that Social Security is an annuity, and going through these calculations will give you a better understanding of how Social Security works. But in addition, the formula for an annuity also happens to be the same formula as the one used to calculate a monthly payment on a mortgage. So you can also understand things like mortgage payments or car payments using these formulas. First, let's review compound interest. So we have the formula that Y sub n, the balance you'll have at the end of n years, is equal to Y sub 0, your initial balance, times 1 plus R to the n, where R is the interest rate and n is the number of years. So, for example, you have if the interest rate were 10%, we would express R as 0.10. Now we're going to complicate things a bit by saying that the interest could be compounded periodically at t times per year. For example, if it were compounded quarterly, t is 4. It's compounded 4 times per year. If it's compounded monthly, then t equals 12. It's compounded 12 times per year. To do this, to handle these kinds of periodic compounding, we do two things. One is we divide the interest rate by t, and the next thing we do is we multiply the number of years n by t. So here's example one. We have an initial balance of $1,000, an interest rate of 12% compounded monthly. How much will we have after 3 years? First of all, we express the interest rate as a decimal, and it's 0.12. Since it's monthly compounding, t equals 12, and we divide the interest rate by 12, and now we're down to 0.01 for a monthly decimal interest rate. Then the number of years, n, is equal to 3, so the total number of periods will be 36, 3 times 12. So now we can compute the ending balance. We take 1,000 times 1 plus 0.01 to the 36th power, and that gives you $14,300.77. Next, we have continuous compounding. We use the base of the natural logarithms, which is called E. And I like to describe E as the number of fingers on an alien's hand, because the base that we use for regular logarithms is 10, which makes sense since we have 10 fingers on our hands. But the base E is a number, an irrational number between 2 and 3. And so since it's not the number of fingers on any of our hands, it must be the number of fingers on an alien's hand. Okay, so we have y sub n, which is the end of period balance, will be equal to y sub 0, the beginning period balance, times e to the nr. Okay, for example, if we have a $1,000 initial balance with continuous compounding and an interest rate of 12%, then r is 0.12 when expressed as a decimal. And then using the formula, we would get y sub n after 3 years would be $1,000 times e to the 0.12 times 3, and that works out to $1,433.33. So slightly bigger if you use continuous compounding than monthly compounding. In Microsoft Excel, if you're using Microsoft Excel to do a problem with continuous compounding, you use this function called exp, and you don't have to use the caret. In fact, you shouldn't use the caret. You would write it as 1,000 times exp parentheses 0.12 times 3, and that would get you the answer. Now we can move on to the next type of problem, which is solving for n. For example, how long would it take you to wind up with $3,000 if you put $1,000 in the bank and you have a 12% interest rate? We're still assuming that we're compounding monthly. The formula involves taking the log of both sides. And now we have log of and I've moved the initial balance over the left-hand side, so we have log of the ending balance over the initial balance is equal to nt times the log of 1 plus r. Okay, so we have t, which is 12, since there are 12 months in a year. We have the desired ending balance, y sub n, which is 3,000. We have the initial balance of 1,000, and we have the monthly interest rate of 0.01. Remember, the interest rate is expressed as a decimal. It was 12%. It became 0.12 annually, but monthly it was 0.01. So now we have log of 3,000 over 1,000 is equal to log of 3 is equal to 12n times the log of 1.01. And when you substitute in for those expressions, you end up with n is equal to 9.2 years after you do the algebra. Okay, now in example 2, where we're using the E, the continuous compounding, how long will it take to have, let's say, $2,500? Now we would take the natural log of both sides, ln. So we take ln of the ending balance over the initial balance, 2,500 over 1,000, is equal to nr, is equal to 0.12n. And so when we solve for n, we get n is equal to 7.6 years. The next step in working our way up to annuity calculations is to look at annual bank deposits. So now, instead of just making one initial deposit, we deposit a fixed amount, C dollars, every year in the bank. So we might deposit $1,000 every year. And we want to say, how much will we end up with after n years? And the formula for that is B, which is our final balance, is equal to C, which is our regular deposit, times 1 plus the interest rate taken to the nth power, where n is the number of years, minus 1, all over r, the interest rate. So let's do an example. Suppose we deposit $1,000 every year for 3 years, and the interest rate is 4%. So b is equal to 1,000 times 1 plus 0.04 to the third, minus 1, all over 0.04, and we get $3,121.60 at the end of the 3 years. Next, we could reverse that. That is, if we know how much, what balance we want to end up with, how much do we have to save each year to end up with that balance? For example, if the goal is to have $50,000 for retirement, that is as a lump sum, when we retire, and we have 3 years until we retire, and the interest rate is 4%, then how much do we need to save? And before that, we just used algebra to get the formula by solving for C instead of B. And C is equal to RB over 1 plus R to the N minus 1. And in the example, that would be C is equal to 0.04 times $50,000 over 1.04 to the third minus 1, or $16,017.43. If we save that amount each year for 3 years, then at the end of 3 years, we will have $50,000. That's what that calculation generates. Okay, now when you retire, you typically will dissave. And so if you ended up with a lump sum of, say, $50,000, you would spread it out over a certain number of years. So if you had $50,000 and you thought you wanted to spread it out over 3 years, and the interest rate is 4%, how much can you take out? This time the formula changes because we're earning interest while we take it out. So it's not exactly the same formula, but it's close. It becomes C is equal to RB over 1 minus 1 plus R to the minus N. And using the numbers here, C equals 0.04 times 50,000 over 1 minus 1.04 to the minus 3 equals $18,017.43. So the moral of the story is, if we had $50,000 and 3 years to live, and we wanted to spread the $50,000 evenly over 3 years, we could spend $18,017.43 each year. The reason we can spend more than just 50,000 divided by three is because we're earning that interest of 4%. So that's why we have to do this fancy annuity calculation, so take into account the fact that we're earning interest as long as we keep some money in the bank. Okay, here's something else, another complication, which is inflation. That is, if you had money in the bank and you knew that the cost of living was going up every year, rather than spending your money evenly over the 3 years, you would want to adjust your spending, the amount you have for the cost of living. So you'd want to spend a little less in the first year and a little more in the second and third years because of inflation. So the way you work that is you work with something called a real interest rate, which is the nominal interest rate, the interest rate that the bank pays you, minus the inflation rate. So if the interest rate is 4% and the inflation rate is 1%, then you subtract the inflation rate and you get a real interest rate of 3%. So with a real annuity, the first year payment would be calculated using the real interest rate. So we would use 3%. And then for the second year payment, we just make the payment go up at the rate of inflation. So here's how that works. In our example, so we have $50,000 and we have 3 years, and now we have a real interest rate of 3%. We recompute the monthly payment, C, using the 3% interest rate. C equals 0.03 times 50,000 all over 1 minus 1.03 to the minus 3. And that gives you $17,676.52. So you notice we cannot spend as much as we could before. Before we could spend 18,000, now we can spend about 17,677. And the reason that we can spend less is that because of inflation, we want to take into account the fact that we want to spend more the second year and more the third year because the cost of living is going up. So, for example, next year we want to raise C by 1% in order to match the cost of living going up at 1% a year. So we multiply the 17,676.52 times 1.01, and we get $17,853.28. So that is, we increase C each year by the rate of inflation. Next, we have monthly installment loans. Okay, so I said that this formula that we just used, the C equals RB over 1 minus 1 plus R to the minus N, that formula also works for mortgages or auto loans. The difference is that that mortgages and auto loans typically have monthly payments. So we have to take the decimal interest rate and divide it by 12 to make it a monthly rate, and take the number of years and multiply by 12 to get the right number of periods. For example, if you had a $50,000 auto loan that was going to be paid off over 10 years at an interest rate of 6%, the monthly interest rate is 0.06, remember that 6% expresses a decimal, 0.06 divided by 12. So that'll just be 0.005. Number of months is 12 months per year times 10 years equals 12 times 10 is 120. So now we get the plug into the formula. C is equal to 0.005, that's our monthly interest rate, times $50,000 over 1 minus 1.005 to the negative 120th. And that comes out at $555.10. So a $50,000 loan over 10 years at an interest rate of 6%, the monthly payment would be $555.10. And that concludes this lecture.